So, do you have a book? Huh? You don't have a book? Because the bhajans are there. You're just dropping in to see it? That's all. That's right. Here, here's the attendance sheet. We're missing one person. What happened to those other people? What's happened to everybody? On verse number 4. So let us. Today's the 3rd. So let's chant bhajan number 4. Krishna Varatha Vinayana Asara Varatha Bole Jana Krishna Varatha Vinayana Asarvartha Bole Jana Sevesya Ati Boyan Kori Sevesya Ati Boyan Kori Sri Krishna Vishayamati Jiberato Labayati Sri Krishna Vishayamati Jiberador Labayati Sevasya Mati Loya Hori Sevasya Mati Loya Hori Suno Mana Boli He Tomai Suno Mana Boli He Tomai Mukti Name Sardulini Jara Katha Jadishuni Mukti Name Sardulini Jara Katha Jadishuni Saravatma Sampati Gilikai Saravatma Sampati Gilikai Tadu Boya Tyaga Koro Mukti Katha Pariharo Tadu Boya Tyaga Koro Mukti Katha Pariharo Lakshmi Pati Rati Rakho Dure Lakshmi Pati Rata Rakho Dure Se Rati Pravala Hoyle Parabhyo Me Deya Fele Se Rati Pravala Hoyle Parabhyo Me Deya Fele Nahi deha vasa vraja pure Nahi deha vasa vraja pure Vraje radha krishna rathe Amulya dhana dayati Vraje radha krishna rathe Amulya dhana dayate Tie to me Vraja chiradina Tie to me Vraja chiradina Rupa ragunatha pai Se rati Prar Kirtanai Rupa Raghunatha Pai Sairate Pratanai E Bhakti Vinodadina Hina E Bhakti Vinodadina Krishna Bharata Vinayana Asara Bharata Bole Jana Krishna Bharata Vinayana Asara Bharata Bole Jana Sevasya Ati Bayan Kori Sevasya Ati Bayan So translation, non-devotees' talks, devoid of topics of Krishna's, are useless topics, the wise say. Be very afraid of this prostitute's lapsed enemies. Attraction of the heart for the objective of Sri Krishna is very rarely attained by living entities. So she'll steal your mind or heart by gossiping tricks. Oh mind, just listen to me. The tigress called liberation, hearing her mundane topics, will swallow all your heart's bhakti assets. Do give up both of these. Talks of liberation keep far away from these. Even the deep attraction for Lakshmi Narayan keep afar. If the new branches of those attractions come out, a body of Vaikuntha will fructify. It won't give a rasa-filled body of the town of Vraja. Vraja's Radha Krishna's deep attraction, a greatly incalculable wealth-giving treasure. Be absorbed in worshipping them for all your days. What Rupa and Raghunath attained, this desired coming of loving attachment, this poor and fallen Bhakti Vinod begs. Vrindavane vanam ramanareti prasiddha bhumo tatrapi krishna balarama subhada mule Gyanam param paramai Krishna sudharma chukatama dandastu deva prabhupada namo namaste Namo bhakti vinodaya satchidananda namine gaura shakti swarupaya panuga varayate Vande rupa sanatano raghuyago sri jiva gopalako So today we're going to read now. Let's read the sloka number 4 again. Asada varatha visya visvajamati saravasva hirani katha mukti vyagra na shunukila saravatama gilani api chaktva lakshmi patiratimito pyo manyayanim vijaya radha krishno swarati manido tum bajamana. My dear mind, you must categorically relinquish all frivolous and mundane talk, which is like a prostitute who steals all your intelligence and resolve. The desire for liberation is equally evil, for it's like a devouring, terrifying tiger devouring your very being. I further request that you even abandon your attachment to Lord Narayan, the husband of Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, who offers the grand benediction of residence in Vaikuntha. I simply and humbly request that you live in Vraja, worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, for they bless their devotees with engagement in their devotional service. So this Bhajan Darpan commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes about mundane talks. And that's quite clear. The idea of avoiding mundane talks is mentioned a lot. Like, for example, in the Upadeshamrit, in the first sloka, where it mentions about controlling the six urges. So one of them is Vacho Vegam. Controlling the tongue, the urges to speak. So in our sampradaya, we either speak about Krishna or we speak about something in relation to Krishna's service, or Prabhupada says, then if it's unnecessary talk, we will not involve ourselves. Because unnecessary talk wastes the life. And part of rati, or attraction to Krishna, when rati becomes fructified, as the bhavankura, the seed of bhava, bhakti, is awakening in the heart, according to Rupa Goswami. One of the symptoms is avyartha kalatvam, which is not to waste one's time. One should try not to waste one's time. One should always make sure that it is actively absorbed. In conditioned life, people are used to frivolously wasting the time. And even in the trains or whatever, then people are attracted to talk nonsense, read some nonsense books, and they advertise, this is for passing the time. Buy this book or something like that. Read this mundane novel or mundane this and that, for simply for passing the time. You have free time, so pass it. But as Prabhupada describes, that time is very valuable for a Vaishnava specifically, because this human form of life is meant for self-realization. As the famous verse, second canto, third chapter, verse 17, Ayur Harati Vaipungsam Udyan Astan Trayan Naso. When the rising and setting of the sun, another day is lost for every living entity, except for one who is engaged in glorifying the all-good personality of Godhead. So that's the nature. A devotee should not waste his time. As Prabhupada mentions in the Tate, the materialists consider time as money. So whether you say time is money or whatever it is, but one should not waste one's time. Even the materialists try for time management to make the time very fruitful, very profitable. And the multinational corporations, they train their employees so that they have nice interrelationships with each other, nice interaction, and they learn how to utilize their time meaningful, whether it is recreation, whether it is relaxing, whether it is health for health purposes, whatever. They try to train people how to maximize the use of their time, 24 hours, in such a way that when it comes time for office work or working for the company, then you will be the most freshest, productive, active, enthusiastic for the good of the company. So even they try to time management, time empowerment, like this, they discuss all this. So Prabhupada was referring to this on the tape in indirect ways, and he said, so the materialists are busy, the most successful materialists, men are eager not to waste our time. How should we waste our time? So wasting the time in this topics of nonsense talks. Now it's described that vayasam tirtu ushanti manasa nayatra hangsa niraman usakshaya. In Bhagavatam it says that such place where rejected literature is thrown is the place of pilgrimage for crows. The hangsas, the swans, are not that are attracted to clear lakes full of lotus flowers. They're not attracted to place where the garbage pickers, the crows, are picking through garbage. So nonsense talk has to be given up. And it's very subtle, because some of it may be cloaked with devotional service. Or it may be some devotional topic, but it doesn't concern you so much. It can be delegated to somebody else. Suppose it is a question that is not of deep importance. So, like, for example, in the old days, they advised devotees not to write Prabhupada letters directly so much, unless first you have to go through your authorities. You go through Bhakti leader, you go through your temple commander, you go through your president. If they can answer your question, then great. You don't need to bother the spiritual master with a direct letter. So he has time to translate his books. The idea was, as our Guru Maharaj's time was precious, it should be saved for translating Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. That was the idea in those days. And I even remember seeing it 72, 73 on the boards. Bulletin boards in the temple. Devotees are requested not to write His Divine Grace unless it's absolutely necessary. First, go through all your local temple president and go to your GBC and say, if they can't answer the question, then write His Divine Grace. Otherwise, save his time so he can translate Bhagavatam. That was the idea. So, even in terms of Krishna Katha, one should learn to limit it. In terms of eloquence, Krishnadas Kaviraj says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, true eloquence is that which is succinctly spoken with few words. Generally, Gambir, a very thoughtful person, can say a lot in a few words. It takes a very long time and a lot of preaching to get that science down, to be able to focus your brain so nice. It also means being prepared, taking notes, preparing yourself, so whenever something comes out of your mind, it's as concentrated, compact, and as effective for your audience as possible. Same time, you can't slam the door on Krishna Katha. You can't slam the door on questions. But you may keep the answers short, to the point. Sometimes Prabhupada would alliterate, would speak it again. If it was an important thing, he would speak it again. Sometimes, if absolutely necessary. So, nonsense talk should be... Otherwise, if it's talk, garbage talk, which we all fall into, sometimes it starts Krishna Katha, then it starts revolving around the body, and you're laughing and joking with your friends, and then next thing you know, you're off and away on a tangent. And then later on, you look at your watch, and it was a half an hour, 45 minutes, shot to hell. And then you have to lament, oh, I lost an hour. See, this is the thing. It's very difficult, and it may take you years to try to crack your 24 hours a day, schedule-wise, so that it's efficient, productive, so that you're getting the nectar you need, so that you're uprooting your anarthas by studying and analyzing them. If we waste so many hours of our day frivolously, uselessly, or if we're not regulated so that therefore we become, another aspect of regulation is in terms of health. If we eat at weird times, if we eat strange foods different times, then we're eating food that is not according to our prakriti, our bodily constitution. After some time you get sick, then you're wiped out, you have no energy, then you have to rest more, and then Maya is taking away so many hours of your life that you could have spent on hearing and chanting about Krishna, memorizing verses, learning, investigating your anarthas, investigating nectar of Krishna that you're attracted to. You may be attracted to serve Krishna in a particular way, particular rasa, particular... You would like to do research about Krishna in different ways, or Gauranga, but the time is being stolen from you, right out from underneath your nose. By the end of the day, you have to look at yourself in the mirror. What did you learn? What do you have to show for the whole day? Well, nothing. I'm just a spaced out rascal. So how many years will that happen to us? So it becomes imperative then to organize yourself and try to... everything has to be worked out. Yukta hara viharasya yukta chastasya karmasu yukta swabna babodasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. That is a million-dollar verse. It is very difficult. Because although it's Krishna throws it about so easily in chapter 6, verse 15... No, it's 17. In any case, but Krishna throws it out so easy, but at the same time, to do it is really difficult. So, regulation is part of brahminical life. Cows are regulated, they like to eat at the same time, be milked at the same time, and, you know, they're very regulated. Animals in their mode of goodness, what to speak of human beings that try for sattva guna. So, in this way, if we actually become regulated, our Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to live with a stopwatch. He had a stopwatch, pocket watch, that he used to keep. And he was very diligent. Everything had its time for every single thing. And therefore, he was able to get results with his life. Even though he had 13 children, and like that, and he had a job. He had also, as a deputy magistrate, he probably had to deal with the public. So many problems, fighting, and so many things during his working hours for the government, you can sure that his hand was being pulled in so many directions. If you study his life as Svalikita Jivani, when you look at that, it's amazing how active he was in terms of the governmental management in various cities that he was posted as a magistrate. Yet still, he had time to explore Bhakti Shastris, he had time to write. He had time. He was literally writing 8 hours a day. What to speak of his other sadhana, japa, etc. And holding down a household life, 13 kids, and a very, very responsible job. So it's understood. It's quite astounding. So this means these people, they measured their words. They did not allow their time to be wasted by uses. Therefore, it's described as a vishya, as a prostitute. She will steal your energy. Your precious jewel of love for Krishna will be stolen away like a prostitute steals the money of a customer, is described. So it's quite clear in the purport of the first shloka of Upadeshamrita. It's very nice. Vairagi bhai gramya katha nashuni bikani. Jagannanda Pandit in his Prema Bhavarta says there, it's in the purport, oh brother renunciate, don't talk nonsense. Don't listen to nonsense talk. And when you meet with other people, don't talk nonsense, talk with them. And then it says, Swapniona kare bhai stri sambhasane. Don't dream at night of women. And females that are living in the house, you should avoid them as much as possible and should stay in the forest. He says, Asiya Chavana. Instead of meeting the women in the house for doing madhukari, probably better to stay in the forest. That was Jagannanda's statement. So our forest is Vrindavan. This is this forest that is recommended. It is the recommended forest in Kali Yuga. Like that. But it shows you that materialistic nonsense talk, and nonsense talk most of the time is sensually based. Sensually based or financially based for the purpose of gratifying the senses. And the fair sex is actually the center point, pivot point for economic development in the material world in any case. The attraction between men and women in the material world is the main point for economic impetus in life. Otherwise, if you're not married, if you're not involved, if you're not entangled, then you have plenty of free time on your hands. So it should be quite clear. Now, what's interesting here, is described here about the price of scriptural injunctions, pure devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that this is also scriptural injunctions that are dealing with external things. Karmakandic. These are karmakandic sections of the Vedas. They deal with more or less massaging this temporary body or mundane society, although it has its place. But in terms of the Vaishnavas, it may not be relevant for them. Just like, for example, some shastras may not be relevant. Example was this. There's one book written by Gopal Bhatta Goswami called Satkriya Sar Dipika, which has been published by the Rupanuga Paramarthika Vidyapith last few years. When I first saw that book in 1982, it was all about marriage, mostly. Those who are on the path of being a grahastha, being married, like that, then those paths is for them. Whereas renunciates, they didn't need that so much. So I put the book down. I looked at it, the shlokas, the mantras. It was curious, for curiosity, but it wasn't for me. Little did I know that later on I was going to be preaching to grahastas, and then sometimes later on, and that it would have been good to know it or to have it, so that I could share the knowledge with them. So just because it's not good for you, doesn't mean later on you may not use it. You may keep it as a reference work. That's the idea. Reference works are books that you just poke through when you need to. But you don't read them cover to cover. That's a reference work. But there's another aspect of that book which are dealing with renunciates. So that aspect of the book is very good. So according to your station of life, ashram, certain things will be good for you. According to your level of advancement, you have to pay attention to certain things. First things first, you have to focus. What is my present problem, my present anartha, and what is my present propensity in devotional service? Focus on that. Your propensities, how to amplify it, how to increase it. Or your anarthas, how to uproot it. So focus your energy there. That is enthusiasm. Intelligent, rightly directed. That is called enthusiasm. utsaha. So that is saving your time. That is focused Krishna katha. And other things, even dealing with the Vedas, they may not be good. So that's mentioned here. The real price of devotional service, dabbling in scriptural injunctions that deal with temporary mundane goals, greed for wealth, close association of women, keeping company of people attached to women, etc. These activities is tantamount to mundane talk. Now, he quotes, Ramananda Rai is quoting from Padyavali. Quoting from Padyavali, pure devotional service, the famous verse, we quoted it, Krishna bhakti rasa bhave tamati kriyatami adhikatopi labhyate tatra loliyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukratir nalabhyate. If you can buy it in the market, buy it at any price. That greed, intense greed to have bhakti is the price you have to pay. Otherwise, ritualistically, if you engage in bhajan, chanting rounds, reading, working, and letting the day pass, the whole day pass without gaining nothing, then you will stay here for millions of births. Janma koti. Millions of births. Sukritir nalabhyate. Of even pious activities. You won't get it, that treasure of bhakti. It's so rare. Real bhakti is obtained by loba. And by loba means that you respect all, but you associate with sadhus and you discuss Krishna katha quite selectively. So depending on your advancement, you associate with different sadhus and try for the gold. And it doesn't matter what other people are doing around you. Of course, naturally, you should try to hear and chant in pairs. That's the best. Having a buddy to watch you, to love you, to take care of you, to encourage you, enliven you, fine-tune you, protect you. Buddy system. 24 hours a day, somebody should be watching you. You know, like that. Somebody you love to be with, and they love to be with you. That's ideal. And in that company, hear and chant the glories of Krishna. That's the most ideal. Not everybody has that. If you don't have that, then this is why people's mind go off, and they change ashrams, and they do so many things like this, because they have no direction, no focus, or no stability, nor ability to focus their mind on Krishna. Focused. Intelligence, focused determination, focused inspiration. They don't have it. And therefore their mind wanders from this station to another station of life. Wandering. And then possibly to another body also. So we have to be very careful about it. Now, impersonal liberation is rejected. Mukti. It mentions that there are different types of mukti. And there is five different kinds of liberation. Here, the impersonal liberation is rejected by a devotee because that involves annihilating your existence, your individual existence, merging into the Supreme Lord. So that is always considered to be a tigress. Also, mukti katha, that devours up your existence, your individual existence. So, that's impersonal liberation. Mukti katha, topics of liberation, meaning impersonalism. Like it's mentioned about the books that are impersonalistic nature, even though there may be Gyanakanda, there may be on the path of knowledge, and they may be interesting. For those who like to wrangle with philosophy, who like to analyze things, even sometimes impersonalistic books may be interesting. And somebody may think, well, I have a spiritual master. If I read, you know, in Mayavad books with a view to blast them or to defeat them. In Madhvacharya Sampradaya, they do that actually, literally. They're trained, after they get trained in Bhakti Shastras, they're trained to understand the arguments of the Mayavadis by reading their literatures and knowing how to defeat it. So one thinks, but in Gaudiya Vaishnava, because now time is very short, Kali Yuga is stronger, intellectual capacity is less, if we divert our mind and read all these so many the weird books, then we miss the boat, miss our consciousness. We waste our time. So if we read Shari Rakabasha with the idea, you may think, well, I'm just getting some ideas what they say, so when I meet them, then I'll be able to refute their ideas. But many people become attracted to the philosophy, actually, impersonalistic philosophy. And it destroys their precious time from focusing on bhakti. As a result, their heart becomes gradually dry. So, bhakti, Mahaprabhu mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mayavadi Bhashya Shunale Hoy Sarbanash. If you listen to Sariraka Bhashya of Shankaracharya, like that, which glorifies the concept of Sayujya Mukti, merging into the Absolute Truth, then everything becomes finished. All your bhakti creeper, all your devotion becomes finished. Therefore, it's considered to be a tigress. And that also... Now, bhukti katha is sense gratification. So that is glowing out of nonsense talk in the beginning. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was fond of stating that nonsense talk means that there is nonsense thought. Whatever comes out of the mouth is usually what's going on in the mind. Okay? So nonsense talk means that there's nonsense thought. And nonsense thought means the person is going to be focused on performing nonsense activities as a result of that nonsense contemplation. And nonsense activities means they're bound up in fruit of reaction. So it must give birth, death, disease, and old age. All starting from nonsense talk. Nonsense talk means nonsense thought. Nonsense thought means nonsense action. Nonsense action means birth, death, disease, and old age. So therefore, nonsense talk, material enjoyment, and liberation, mundane liberation, have to be given up. And he quotes from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhakti Mukti Spriya Javat Pisachi Hridavartate Tavada Bhakti Sukasyatra Katam Abhyadayo Bhavet Shri Krishna Charanam Bhoja Seva Nivritta Chetasam Esa Mokshaya Bhaktanam Na Kadachit Priya Bhavet. As long as the fierce desire for sense gratification and liberation persistently haunt the heart, how can the taste for devotional service ever blossom? And an impure heart is the last place for pure devotion to take refuge in and thrive. Pure devotees, in fact, engaged in rendering loving service to the lotus feet of Krishna, always experience overflowing happiness and bliss. Therefore, they never even think of liberation. So we're talking about a higher taste. Rupa Goswami defines happiness early on in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Happiness of sense gratification, happiness of emerging into the impersonal Brahman, Brahmananda, and happiness of devotional service. The happiness of devotional service is so great that it pales to insignificant all other levels of happiness. Bhavita Govinda Bhaktida Sangama Sukamityadin Atyatara Manishibihi mentions that the happiness persons in human bodies that engage in devotional service to Lord Hari, they obtain a specific happiness that don't sit back in the chair. Leave some space between your back and the wrist. They get a very high degree of happiness beyond sense gratification or beyond mukti. So, another thing about mukti. Here now it's going to discuss about liberation now. This is very interesting. There are five types of liberation. Salokya, Sharshti, Samipya, Sarupya, Ekatvam. Ekatvam is the Sayuja. Diyamanam Nagrinanti Vina Matsivanam Janab. Famous verse in Kapila Dev Shiksha. And my dear mother, my devotees, even if they're offered any one of the five kinds of liberation, Salokya, to become on the same planet as the Lord. Saarshti, to share in the same opulences as the Lord. Sambipya, to live as an associate with the Lord. Sarupya, to get this a body that's very similar to the Lord, either spiritual constitution or like a Vaikuntha body. Or Ekatvam, this is Sayuja. Even if I want to give it to them, if it's without my devotional service, the sweet taste of my service, my devotees do not care for it. Now, This brings it to, I have a special file about that, since we have 2 days to discuss this verse. This, I think, let me see. Look at my schedule here to double check. Yeah. So, I've got some interesting things to mention about this. One thing is that there's a wonderful story how Prabhupada is glorifying Bilba Mangal Thakur. That although he was attached to sense gratification early on in his life, specifically sexual gratification as a brahmana, so much so he liked to go to see some prostitutes, so much so that even during his father's shraddha ceremony, he told the priest to hurry up. Hurry up, I want to take this prasadam after this shraddha ceremony of burning, of offering oblations as my ancestor, because I have to go, I have an appointment with my prostitute. You know, he was so eager. Even mentions about storm, a heavy storm where he crossed the river, climbed the walls to meet the prostitute. It's intense, you know. And Chintamani, he says, wow, if all for this, just for enjoying my body. You could do so much austerity like that for Krishna. What kind of a devotee would you become? So that changed him. Yes, you're right. And he became a devotee. She became a Vardhman Pradarsha guru for him. Therefore, in Krishna Karnamrita, in the second verse, he glorifies her as a Vardhman Pradarsha guru. So, but afterwards, on the way to Vrindavan, when he became determined, still because his mind was attached and used to these things of associating with beautiful women, his mind became attached again. There was a Brahmani, or some high-class girl, lady. So he began to follow her, being impelled by lust, seeing her beauty. So she was from a good family, so she asked her husband, hey, what's going on? He's been following me. Ask him what the idea is. So the man said, hey, you appear to be a very respectable Brahmin, and you're following my wife. What's going on? Yes, I admit it truthfully. Well, I'm following your wife because actually I'd like to embrace her. But he thought, well, look, this man is an atithi. He's a guest which has come unannounced. So, and he's from an elevated Brahmin family. So, all right, if I give in charity to this person, whatever he may desire, surely I'll obtain a great deal of opulences and benefit. And if something he does that is sinful, that is his problem and not mine so much. My business is to satisfy his every desire. So he told his wife, decorate yourself to be enjoyed by this man, this Brahmin. Evidently she thought, she followed the orders of her husband. But still, afterwards, seeing that this couple was so submissive to the idea, he became ashamed of himself. So then later on he took a pin from the lady's hairpin and plucked his eyes out. These eyes have become my enemy and they are not going to victimize me anymore. So in a blind state, he went to Vrindavan. Blind people have no problems in India, even now, on the trains, anywhere, any cities. People take care of them. People donate to them. Indian people have a very soft spot toward blind people, specifically. I've seen, practically, there's no problem. Even some blind people, I even know one devotee, they get married, they have children, everything goes on. Much to my shock, the guy actually got married. It was amazing. So even blindness does not stop you in India. So Bilba Mangal Thakur went to Vrindavan and he absorbed himself in bhajan on Brahmakunda for 600 years. And because he was so absorbed, when you're blind, your senses become very keen. The other senses become very astute, perceptive. So he was very good in musician, very good. He was composing very nice verses glorifying Krishna. Obviously somebody wrote them down. One of his students or admirers or whatever he was writing. Because they're still available. And some of the most astounding things he writes, Bilba Mangal Thakur, astounding. One Govinda Madhava Damodara Stotram is very ecstatic. About it. It has a very sweet view of Krishna Leela, all in verse form. But he mentions many wonderful things, aside from Krishna Karnamritam, that he wrote. So he was singing bhajans again and again in Brahmakunda, And one coward boy was coming and bringing milk until finally he understood who this coward boy was. And he says, well, I have to go now. My mother is calling. So he tried to grab him. He said, but I'll only be impressed when you may slip out of my grasp, but I'll only be impressed when you can remove yourself from your heart, my heart, by force. Then I'll be impressed of your potency. Like that. So Krishna never leaves though. The devotees are always seeing. Those whose hearts are imbued with love, they're always seeing Krishna, experiencing Krishna. So Krishna was bringing him milk, because that's the vow. Vrijanara pasu pakshi prata soge gadata. His vow is to see the happiness of the human beings, the animals, the birds of Vrindavan. That's Krishna's vow. Specifically, his vow was Govardhan. So, as he told Madhavendra Puri also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the story is narrated, that what are you doing here? What are you doing? You're fasting. Why don't you eat something? You know? Like that. Why don't you drink something? Here's some milk. If you don't beg for your food, then I'll bring it. You know? He said, that's my duty. It's my arrangement. So, Prabhupada commented, look, if Krishna is personally coming and giving you milk, then what is the use of your mukti? So if Krishna is personally coming and serving the devotee, Krishna becomes so, Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti is so powerful, as we were mentioning yesterday, that Krishna comes under control. It mentions it. In the internal reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in Adi Leela chapter 4, these verses are glorified. Where it says, Krishna says there, Mata Mori Putra Babe, Karina Bandan, Ati Hina Gyane Kore, Lalana Palan. My mother considers myself, me to be her son. Very weak, very helpless. With that type of knowledge, she protects me, pats me on the head, fondles me. And my friends, Sakya Suda Sakya Kore Skandi Arohan, Tumi Konam Boroloka Tumi Ami Sam. My friends, and pure friendship, they crawl on my shoulders and they say, what kind of a big man are you? You and I are equal. And Priya Jade Mani Kori Karana Bart Sana Vedastrute Hoite Hari Se Muraman. When my beloved rebukes me with intense words, heavy words, then she steals away my mind from the reverent words of the Vedas. More than the reverent words of the Vedas. So Krishna becomes stolen. Krishna becomes captured. Svabhaktya Vasyata. He becomes defeated by the love of his devotee. Love has the power to bring Krishna under control. So bhava premno yam prabhamabhi vashikari yathiyat. Vashikari means to become completely submissive and under the control. It mentions that Lord Chaitanya, in his loving dealings with his associates, became just like a piece of property in the hands of such surrendered devotees. He told this specifically about different devotees. Paramananda Puri, and Puridas, this Parameshwara Thakur, and Advaita Acharya, and many others he mentioned. These persons are very dear to me. They can sell me in the marketplace, Gauranga said. They can give me to anybody, sell me in the marketplace. I'm so indebted to them. Mahaprabhu gave himself so much to those associates. That's the idea. So bhava premno yam prabhamabhi vashikari atiyat. Krishna becomes vashikari, subordinate, submissive to the love of a devotee. That is the glory of bhava bhakti. So if that's the case, what is the use of mukti? If God, Prabhupada comments there that this is why devotees don't consider mukti to be very important in comparison to bhakti. Because by bhakti, the Supreme Lord comes under control. That's the amazing thing. And if he's under control, naturally he's obligated to his devotee. But we should not do anything with a business mentality. Like in South India, different sampradayas. Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya, for example, I mentioned, I was in South India in one holy spot once, Milkote, and a very wonderful tirtha. It's called the Yadavagiri in Sanskrit, where the Yadavas used to stay, the mountain where the Yadavas used to stay. It's a South Indian mountain. Little mountain, wonderful, wonderful tirthas all around. And it's a nice Sanskrit college and wonderful town. There, there's a beautiful deity, a mula of a Narayan Murti, and along with a small deity called Selva Pillai. He's the child Narayan. Another name for the deity is Ramapriya. Very dear to Lord Ramachandra, the deity was worshipped by Ramachandra previously before it went as a kanyadan, as a donation from an unmarried girl, a princess, when she was married into Yadu dynasty, from Raghu dynasty. It was given as a dowry, the deity. Lord became her family's deity then. So it went down to the Yadus, down, and Balaram saw the deity in South India and told Krishna about it. Krishna and Balaram came from Dwarka afterward, the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna agreed with Balaram and gave the deity there. The deity is very charming, beautiful. So I was in that place. I was doing Tirthyatra, checking everything out. The idea was eventually to do an article for Bhaktigata that never materialized. And but when I was with the Sri Vaishnava Acharya, his name is Narayan Achar from Bangalore, a retired man from the Hindustan Aeronautics Limited, company. So he was retired, 55, just newly retired, 56, 60. He was taking me around. So we were having conversation, and he was saying, so you're worshipping Krishna to become liberated, isn't it? We want out. We want out of this material world. And I said, no, that's not Gauranga's philosophy. We don't do anything as a business. Prahlad Maharaj said he did not want to do business, so why should we do business with the Lord? Of course, if he likes. Prabhupada commented once, Hansatutu and a few others said, should we desire to take birth again so that we may do sangirtan or preach or something? Preaching is always nice, Prabhupada said. But no, you are from America, all these other places. You should desire to get out of the material world. Prabhupada said, you don't desire to stay here. Once Burijan mentioned it, I would like to stay here, Srila Prabhupada. We're so fallen, maybe we cannot become liberated, so we should stay here and serve you. Prabhupada looked at him very gravely and said, don't make me come back to get you. So we should finish our business. We should desire liberation. Devotionally. If Krishna, we want to serve Radha and Krishna, and if they like, then they should call us. We should, like I said, anartha nivritti, then artha pravritti, cleanse all the dirty things, and then if we actually learn to Raganuga Bhakti means to learn to love Krishna in the way his associates do. If the associates are pleased, they will call you. And because they are calling you, therefore Krishna will agree. You're liberated. What is the problem? These Brajavasis, they're more dear to Krishna than Krishna's life force. And they worship Krishna more, who is more dear to them than their own life force. So if you please the eternal associates of Krishna, following in their mood, they will call you. They will call you. And Krishna will agree. Because he is bound up by the ropes of their love. Krishna will agree. But otherwise, we don't demand. That's the thing. It's not a business. We don't demand. So I was trying to explain these things. Gauranga Mahaprabhu's philosophy is to love Krishna so much. But whatever he wants, even if we have to take birth again, we don't demand. We can have no right to demand. But they cannot understand that. And that's... No, we're worshipping Narayan because we want to get out. That's their mood. We want to please him and we want to ask him, please take us out, get us out of here. So much suffering here. If we've pleased you anyway, just get us out of here. That's not the highest devotion. That's not the highest devotion at all. So, going on about this point... So this liberation, even in other sampradayas, many people are very much attached to the concept of liberation. They cannot understand Gauranga Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwari Bhavatad Bhakti Rahitakitvaya. They cannot relate to it. So, this is the idea about Mukti Mancham. Mukti is a real deep attachment to Krishna. Cannot come unless you're completely free from all types of motivations. Motivation should be kicked out. Now, I'd like to read here. I pulled out some things from different places. I have some notes from Jiva Dharma in chapter 19. Brijanal says, so why are the devotees not eager for liberation? And Babaji Maharaj says there, five kinds of liberation. Salokya, to live on the same planet. Sharshti, to have the same opulence. Samipya, a constant association. Sarupya, to obtain the bodily features. Sayujya, to become one. Only Sayujya is openly opposed to the principles of devotional service. Devotee of Krishna never accepts Sayujya. The other kinds of liberation, Salokya, Sharshti, etc., are not openly opposed to the principles of devotional service, but some aspects of them are not helpful for developing devotional service. This is an interesting analogy. In Jiva Dharma Bhaktivinoda Thakura, which is written in a novel way, like a novel style. So some of them are not, it says here, some of these are not helpful for developing devotional service. Devotees of Lord Krishna do not accept these four kinds of liberation when they are manifested in Vaikuntha, the abode of Narayana. In some situations, spiritual opulence is prominent in these kinds of liberation. In other situations, loving service is prominent. So, the idea of it is spiritual opulence, like the Lord in Vaikuntha with His great opulence, His devotees who like to serve Him in Gauravadasya, Bali Maharaj, Prahlad, etc. They're serving the Lord in Gauravadasya. I've heard described there are 2.5 rasas in Vaikuntha. There's Shantarasa, then there's Dasyarasa, and then there's Gaurava Sakya. There is a friendship which is Gauravya. Gauravya Sakya is also described as the friendship that Arjuna has with Krishna in Dwarka. This is called Gaurava Sakya. So it's, in that sense, it's incomplete Sakya, incomplete friendship. So it is 2.5 described there. In 2.5 relationships, 2.5 rasas manifested there. So it says here, in some situations, spiritual opulence is prominent in these kinds of liberation. That's one. Then in other situations, loving devotional service is prominent. The devotees reject these kinds of liberation when their final goal is spiritual opulence. That's the point. Spiritual opulence. In these situations, the devotees say, talk of liberation should stay far away. He's quoting Katha Mukti Vyagra. Nashinu Kila Sarvatma Gilani. Don't listen to it. It will swallow your life. Sarvatma Gilani. The devotees' hearts are attracted only to Lord Krishna. The devotees' hearts are not enchanted by the mercy of Lord Narayan. Why not? Babaji Maharaj in this Jiva Dharma is asking, why not? Even though Lord Narayan and Lord Krishna in the end are not different from each other, the highest nectar is present only in the form of Lord Krishna. It's described in Nectar Devotion that Lord Krishna has four wonderful qualities that even Narayan does not possess. If so, then it mentions about this in, even in Dwarka Leela, when Mahavishnu stole the child of the Brahmin, and the Brahmin came and complained to Arjuna and this and that, and Krishna and Arjuna went. Mahavishnu stole the children of the Brahmana just so that he could have darshan of Krishna. Even Mahavishnu was aspiring to have darshan of Krishna. And because Krishna was very dear to Arjuna, therefore Mahavishnu set all this up just so he could get darshan of Krishna. It's an amazing pastime. It's mentioned in Krishna book to some degree. So, the highest nectar is present only in the form of Krishna. That's why. Now, it mentions here about the mood. Bhaktivinoda Thakura describes about the mood of the devotees in kicking bhukti and mukti far away. In Navadvip Dhamma Mahatmya in the Parikrama Kanda, it mentions about liberation of Brahman realization. Attained by Brahman realization in other holy places, obtained simply by bathing in the Ganga in Navadvip. All types of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, can be obtained in Navadvip without speculative process. Falling at the feet of the pure devotees in Navadvip, bhukti and mukti, personified material enjoyment, remain there as obedient servants. It's interesting. And not caring for their blessings, because it's like Bhuva Mangal Thakur says, Mukti Mukali Tanjali Sevate Asman, the personification of liberation is coming at my door. And Dharmartha Kama Samayam Pratiksha. And the other personifications of religiosity and artha, economic development, and kama, sense gratification, are all standing behind her with folded hands saying at the devotee's doorstep, I want to serve you. And the devotee says, no, 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 we're not interested. We're not interested. Sorry. We have other things on our mind. That's the case. This is a real devotee. We're not interested. Just like at the beginning of one devotional life, parents want to see the proclivity of the child. So they put coins on one side in the Bhagavatam. This is another samskara. And then see if the devotee will become the child will be a baniya, some businessman or something, and desire money, or he'll go for the Bhagavatam. What will the child be? So they do like that. So interesting, it says they're not caring for their blessings, the devotees kick them away, but still they do not leave the devotees' feet. Even though the devotees are not interested in bhakti and mukti, along with these chaturvarga, they still don't leave the devotees' feet. It says, the fruits obtained by staying 100 years in 7 holy cities can be attained by staying one night in Navadvip Dham. So in the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya Praman Kanda, in chapter 5, it says, I'll wander in the forest and I'll come to the place of a Shiva Linga. Sitting there, I'll meditate on Gauranga's lotus feet. Then I see a beautiful goddess not far off. When she notices me, I'll pay my respects and I'll ask you, what's your name, Mata? With tears in her eyes, she says, listen, my son, my sorrow is impossible to tell. There are 5 types of liberation and I've been given the name of Sayujya. She says, impersonal liberation. My 4 sisters, Salokya, Sharshti, Samipya, and Sarupya, have all gone to Vaikunthapura, and they've leave me here embarrassed. And by the mercy of Shiva, Dattatreya, and other sages, they gave me their attention for a little while. But finally they gave me up. And the people say, Shiva, Dattatreya, they all went to Rudradweep, where Lord Shiva stays in Mayapur, to take up residence. Now, uselessly, I'm now looking for them. I'm wandering around Rudradweep looking for them, she says. Where will I find them? Gauranga has liberated everyone but is merciless to me. Therefore, I'll find a place to give up my life. And that place will be called Nidaya, Nidaya is where Gauranga Mahaprabhu jumped in the Ganga to swim across to Katwa to go take sannyas. And therefore, it plunged all the inhabitants of Navadvip in separation from Gauranga. Therefore, they thought Ganga could not stop him from swimming across to her. Somebody should have stopped him from leaving Navadvip, but Ganga did not stop him. Therefore, the goddess called Nidaya God, no mercy. Nirdaya, no mercy. So, here, just by hearing her name, Sayujya, my heart will tremble as if fear of the witch Putana. Your name is Sayujya? Ah! So, in great fear, I'll close my eyes and drop to the ground. But then some great person will touch me and I'll rise and I'll see before me the figure of Shiva. It's dancing and singing out, Oh, Sachinandan, give mercy to all living entity, drive away all fear. I'll fall at Mahadev's feet and play for my own purification. Being merciful, you place his feet on my head and give me the essence of all teaching. Listen, devotion to Sri Krishna is the essence. Striving for Gyan, Karma, Yoga, and Mukti is useless. By my mercy, you will conquer Maya, quickly attain the shade of Gaura's lotus feet. To the south, see Sri Pulina. So attractive, that is the Vrindavan within Navadvip. Go there to witness Krishna's pastimes and soon you will attain Radha's lotus feet. So this is the end quote from the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya Praman Kanda. So it's interesting here how Lord Shiva is blessing the devotee to obtain Gauranga Prema like that. And similarly, devotees go and worship Gopeshwar Mahadev here in Vrindavan in the same way. Actually, I have some personal experience sometimes whenever I was in that area, and I would offer him a garland, talk with him, massage his linga a little bit, pour some water on him or drink some charanamrita from him and ask him that you're so dhira, you're so sober, your mind is so steady. I have this project and that thing to do for Krishna, but I cannot control my mind. You please, please help me facilitate it so I may do some service. You know? And usually when I do so, that day goes pretty good. I've noticed that that particular 24 hours ends up pretty good. Devotees worship Gopeshwar Mahadev in Vrindavan to become free from the bodily conception of life. So they may, if they have male bodies, so that they may serve as manjaris or gopis like that later on like that. Or some persons that are attracted to Krishna Balaram that are entangled in a female's body, they may desire to give up their Sri Bhava and become a Sakha like that. There's examples also in Vrindavan of that. In any case, they may worship Gopeshwar Mahadev for freeing of the Deha Abhiman, the bodily conception of life. So and that's nice. Now, I'll continue on reading some other nectar. I have some wonderful, far out, pretty interesting things from different shastras here I pulled about. In Bhakti Loka, about concerning the second shloka, the six faults that destroy bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the desire for liberation must be rejected. There are five types of liberation. Now, although four types of liberation are devoid of the desire for enjoyment, they're still undesirable. As soon as a living entity becomes free from material bondage by the strength of devotion, he immediately attains liberation. Liberation is attained automatically by a devotee, he is saying. So why should you desire it and strive for it intellectually? That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. As soon as they become free from material bondage by the strength of devotional service, he immediately attains liberation. That liberation, however, is not the principle of the fruit of bhakti. It's sideline. It's not the swarupa lakshanam. It's not the main thing. It's tathasta lakshanam. It's a side item of devotional service that you attain liberation. A side benefit. Pure love for Krishna attained by liberated souls is the principal fruit of sadhana bhakti. Chaitanya Charitamrita is quoted from Madhya Lila chapter 6. Salok yadi chari yadi haya sarvadvara tabu kadachit bhakti kari angikara sayuj shunate bhaktera haya grinna bhai naraka vanchaya tabu sayuja nalai brahma ishvara sayuja dvita prakar brahma sayuja haita ishvara sayuja dikara. If there is a chance to serve the Supreme Personality of God, a pure devotee sometimes accepts four aspects of liberation, but never Sayuja. A pure devotee does not like even to hear about Sayuja Mukti. Merging into the Lord's body is more abominable than merging into his own effulgence. It's ecstatic. The purport is that the liberation of a devotee in the form of freedom of bondage is easily attained by the will of Krishna. So, that's why one should not pollute one's desires, his endeavor for devotional service with such desires, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says very nicely. It is the essential duty of the practicing devotee to carefully give up materialistic lolia, materialistic greed. Now, from Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala, in the 8th chapter, it says, from the point of view of the impersonal Brahman, this form of merging is one form of perfection. But when a soul becomes perfect by knowing this, the truth of simultaneously oneness and difference, achintya beta beta tattva, then the aspect of oneness is unable to remain prominent. The idea of equality with the Supreme, like that, is unable to remain prominent. Then when the devotee asks, then what's the state of true liberation? And the answer is, only the attainment of the lotus feet of Krishna in his pure form is actual liberation. Then the question is, why is only the attainment of the feet of Krishna called liberation? Answer is, because the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet automatically situates one in freedom from the influence of matter. Interesting, I remember that famous verse about Agasura. Sakrit Dhyaranga Pratimantar Ahita. If one takes this main form of Krishna in the mind, Manomayi, by the force of one's determination, that is competent to give one devotional service. Because Krishna situated within the heart of the devotee is always inclined to shower the devotee who hears and chants his glories with unparalleled nectar. Ocean of nectar, Sukhanubhutyubi, and Vyudastamaya, and destroys the ignorance within the heart of the devotee who glorifies Krishna, who is situated within the heart. What to speak of somebody like Agasura? It's a nice verse. So, only because the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet automatically situates one in freedom from the influence of matter. Other forms of liberation are temporary situations, for the soul must fall down again when the effects are concluded. But the ecstatic bliss of drinking the nectar of the Lord's lotus feet is a permanent situation. What else could I possibly call liberation? Of course, the famous thing is the verse of Lord Brahmaji in the 10th canto, 14th chapter. Ye aravindakshavi muktamani nas, tvayastata avishuddha buddhaya aruya krishtrena param padam tata patanti ada. They may imagine themselves to be liberated, but because they're not situated in devotional service, they fall down again. They fail to grab Krishna's lotus feet. Now, then, in Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala, they quote famous verses of Srimad Bhagavatam in chapter Canto 9, chapter 4, verse 37, etc., which describes the happiness of a devotee. So happy that even this concept of liberation, salokyadi, chatushtayam, Narayanan, when he's discussing with Durvasa Muni, when Durvasa Muni was asking for freedom from the Sudarshan Chakra, and Narayan is glorifying the mood of devotees such as Ambarish. So it's quite clear there, he's saying, my devotees are always satisfied, are not interested even in the poor principles of liberation, although these are automatically achieved by that service. What is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation of the higher planetary systems? Now, interesting, in the shloka, Vimuktidat, this is in the 10th canto, 9th chapter, verse 20, the verse Vimuktidat says, a special mukti. There are five types of liberation. But vimukti means special mukti. When after liberation, one is situated on the platform of prema bhakti, one who is said to have achieved vimukti. Special liberation, special mukti. Therefore, the word na is mentioned. The exalted platform of prema is described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as prema pumartha mahan. And he's describing about Mother Jasoda and other devotees serving Krishna are nitya siddhas, expansions of Krishna's ladini potency. Such devotees are not sadhan siddha. Prabhu was talking about. So the idea of mukti then for a devotee, serving, as in the previous shloka was glorifying, serving, following in the footsteps of the eternally liberated souls of Vrindavan. And by doing that, cultivating that same mood, then they call you, you actually become liberated from the bodily conception of life. All right, so that's this is some very interesting things that I had about mukti. It's quite interesting. All these different ideas from different shastras, Bhaktivinoda Thakur specifically is describing about the situation of mukti and how it's undesirable. Only Krishna's lotus feet give it a specific type of happiness that makes liberation so small. And if it wasn't like that, how come Prahlad Maharaj said that when Narsingadeva offered to bless him in so many ways, he says, I'm not interested in being a businessman, worshipping you, lotus feet, to become free from material existence or for sense gratification. The happiness Prahlad Maharaj got from seeing Narsingadeva and serving Narsingadeva is much better than liberation. What to speak of any other desire? All right, so That's impersonal liberation is rejected. Now, liberation, devotional service. Now, it mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is, however, worthwhile to mention that except for Sayushin, liberation is not entirely detrimental to bhakti. So, in some aspects of liberation, dealing specifically with the ideas of going to Vaikuntha, that's not one. But other types of liberation, if it's favorable for serving Krishna in a favorable mood, the devotee may accept it. For example, coward boys in Vrindavan, they have to have that same kind of liberation. Otherwise, how are they going to play with Krishna? They live in the same planet as Krishna. They have the same opulence as Krishna, the same cows, type of cows. They dress similar ornaments. They have bugles, flutes. Samaguna vaya veshalalitai. The Lord plays with people that are similarly endowed as Him. This means sarupya. It is not exactly the same beauty as Krishna, the same bluish form as Krishna, but very similar. Saarshti, opulences. Salokya, they live in. So they may accept it. If it allows them to serve Krishna, then they may accept it. That's what Rupa Goswami is mentioning it. Is there any questions so far? Yeah, it's a Vaikuntha. Yeah. They're serving Narayana. In Vaikuntha Loka, they serve Narayana. Narayana is not Krishna. Narayana is emanating from Krishna, but he's not the same because Krishna has four more qualities that Narayana does not have. But like I said, they're serving Narayana in 2.5 rasas there. Shanta and Dasya and up to Gaurava Sakya, a friendship imbued with awe and veneration. He moves about. He goes about everywhere. He goes everywhere. This is why it's mentioned. His name is mentioned many times in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He goes everywhere. Any other question? Is that clear? It mentions the process in part two. It mentions the process of going back up the planetary systems, material planetary system. Through the heavenly planets, higher, upper heavenly planets, up to Kailash, etc., etc. And each time, it mentions about Narada Muni stopping in and glorifying all these different devotees. You've obtained the mercy of the Lord. And that devotee says, no, I haven't. You go, please approach so-and-so. They've obtained the mercy of the Lord. All the way up to Brahma and beyond. You know, from Brahma to Lord Shiva and all the way on beyond. Describes also about Gopukumara taking birth in Govardhan, Prajavasi in Govardhan, and going all the way to the Lord's abode. It's not easy. Generally, one takes birth in the place where Krishna performs his pastimes, and you're trained up by the eternally liberated associates who come along with Krishna. After you're trained up, then liberation is liberation. Once you're liberated, then you obtain the eternal association in Goloka. But generally, you first appear, according to Sanatana Goswami, you appear in the place where the Lord's performing His pastimes. Become equal? Yeah. How are you going to serve Him unless in any of the five rasas unless you have some association? Isn't it? That liberation is automatically understood when you're engaging in relationship with Krishna. Prayojan, the goal of life. Automatically understood. Yeah? Lakshmi, it was mentioned in Lord Chaitanya's visit in South India to Venkatabhatta in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It mentioned that your Lakshmi, she also wanted to chain a place on Krishna's chest. But despite her austerity, she could not do so. Because in that case, Lakshmi refused to give up her position as Lakshmi. She wanted to see the Rasa dance, associate with Krishna, and still keep her form as Lakshmi. That abhiman had to be given up. She had to accept the gopi mood before she could actually get darshan or get appearance. As long as she wanted to maintain herself as the consort of Narayana, she could not get in. It mentions it also. Well, if your Lakshmi is so great, Gauranga said, why she's doing austerities constantly? You know, for worshipping Krishna. Is that not unchaste? There were some jokes in this regard with Venkata Bhatta. It's very humorous. That whole family became very deeply attached to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is one of the jokes. Mahaprabhu was encouraging them to love Krishna, showing the superiority. As long as she maintains her Lakshmi Bhava, she cannot enter Vrindavan. A couple of days, a while back,